You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Pamela Wu, in for Beth Ruyak. Mental illness is more common than you might think. In Sacramento County alone, for example, more than 300,000 people live with mental illness. Next week is Mental Illness Awareness Week, and a project titled Mental Illness, It's Not Always What You Think, seeks to raise awareness about mental illness and fight the stigma that surrounds it. And it's employing a collaborative art exhibit called Journey of Hope to tell stories and inspire understanding. Joining us today are Chantal Allen-Jarrell, health educator for Sacramento County, and Karen Hinson, the coordinator for the Journey of Hope exhibit. Chantal and Karen, welcome to Insight.
Good morning.
Thank you.
The exhibit's full name is Journey of Hope, Real-Life Stories of Living with Mental Health Challenges Portrayed Through Art. And it's going to be on display at the Elk Grove Fine Arts Center beginning this weekend. Chantal, why are art and stories an ideal medium for exploring the topic of mental illness?
Well, for the fourth year, Sacramento County Division of Behavioral Health Services is partnering with Elk Grove Fine Arts Center to bring the event to the public. But the collaborative art exhibit pairs local artists with writers who are sharing personal stories of struggle, hope, and recovery with mental challenges. And participating artists are matched with writers to create an artistic portrayal of these stories. But the show is an amazing display of insight, inspiration, and understanding, strength, and connection to display mental illness and the truth behind it.
Karen, how did you come to be involved with Journey of Hope?
I have been a volunteer with the Mental Illness It's Not Always What You Think project as a public speaker for a few years now. And we got an email blast asking if anybody wanted to help with this Journey of Hope project. And I looked it up and I looked at the website and I saw that it was portraying mental illnesses in a different light than they usually were. Because a lot of people only hear about mental illnesses in a very negative context, and I wanted to be a part of this because it was casting mental illness in a positive light and showing all of the good that can happen even with mental illness. And it was going to do a lot, I felt like, to reduce the stigma surrounding mental illness for both the participants and the people who came to view the show.
Can we define the term mental illness for our listeners? It's sort of an umbrella term that covers a lot, and it's more inclusive than people mm-hmm. might think. And I'd like to pose this question to both of you. So, Chantal, let's start with you.
Yes. So the way I like to help define mental illness is first by stepping back and defining mental health. And so, you know, we have heart health, we have respiratory health, we have mental health. And mental illness, I would say, is just the spectrum in which illness lies for mental health.
Karen, your thoughts?
I like to talk, when people talk about mental illness, they tend to think of these big five diseases like bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, depression, but there's more than that. Those are mental illnesses, and people with those can still live amazing lives. We have a lot of participants in our show who have illnesses like that, who are amazing people, who've done great artwork. But anxiety is a mental illness, and depression, post-traumatic stress disorder. There's a lot of things that can kind of interfere with your everyday functioning for your mental health that would be a mental illness. It doesn't have to be what you see in the TV and the movies. There's a lot of things that could be a mental illness or that could affect your mental health, and they're all very important and they're all very valid.
And that sounds like it's a misconception. Karen, what are some of the other misconceptions in the community about mental illness that you wish people knew?
I wish people knew more about the misconception that people with a mental illness can't be good friends, or that they can't be in relationships, that they aren't worthy of promotions or of doing great things in their lives. You wouldn't deny someone a promotion for having diabetes, and a mental illness shouldn't get in the way of that either. People with mental illnesses are people.
Chantal, what do you wish people knew?
One of the things that our project, you know, strives to educate is that mental illness isn't a result of moral failing, personal weakness, or a lack of willpower. Many people also believe mental illness is not treatable, but it certainly is. Such beliefs may explain why only 1/3 of individuals seek treatment, and 2/3 of those who are living with mental illness do not seek treatment, and stigma is a huge barrier to that.
Sacramento County's project titled Mental Illness, It's Not Always What You Think, was launched in 2012. What is that about?
Yes. Yeah, so the project Mental Illness, It's Not Always What You Think was launched in an effort to reduce stigma and discrimination. It is funded by Proposition 63, the Mental Health Services Act. And so the main pitch line is we're looking at, as you said in the introduction, roughly one in five adults will experience a diagnosable mental health issue during their lifetime, and nearly one out of every five children will experience emotional or behavioral difficulty. So here in Sacramento County, for our population, that would equate to approximately 300,000 individuals in our community who live with mental illness. But again, only one-third of those will seek treatment and services, where two-thirds go untreated.
If you do the math, that's more than 200,000 people going untreated.
Yes. So, I mean, the project aim, we want to reduce stigma and discrimination around mental illness, promote mental health and wellness, and inspire hope for people and families living with mental illness.
So the project Mental Illness, It's Not Always What You Think, it's been going on for 6 years mm-hmm. now. How do you measure success?
Looking at awareness, you know, going out into the community, and I would say, as colloquial as it sounds, is that awareness of our project, awareness of understanding that stigma and discrimination is a huge problem with mental illness. So I would say in my short time is it's great to go out into the community and people are aware of the project and they understand that that they can try to reduce stigma and discrimination in small ways within themselves and their families and their communities. So I would say unofficially, that's a great way how we like to measure the success of the project.
I'm talking with Chantal Allen-Jurel, health educator for Sacramento County, and Karen Hinson, the coordinator for the Journey of Hope exhibit, about what's happening in Sacramento County to recognize Mental Illness Awareness Week. Karen, you mentioned stigma. How do you think stigma prevents people from seeking help?
I think a lot of people who don't seek the help, that 200,000 we were talking about a second ago, a lot of them, they don't seek help or they kind of ignore their mental illness because they don't want the people in their lives to look at them differently or treat them differently. If your friends or your coworkers or your family find out that you have a mental illness, a lot of people do look at you differently or treat you differently. They treat you like you're breakable, like you're broken, like you have a mental illness because you're lazy or because you're immoral or you need to go to church more or for whatever reason. People are very afraid of the effect that coming out about this mental illness is going to have on them and the relationships in their lives.
You know, advocates such as yourselves, I've heard advocates say that it is stigmatizing and negative to use language such as you're crazy or that's insane. How important are the words that we use in regards to mental illness?
Very important. With those examples, when we go out and with the Speakers Bureau and do presentations, we try to educate about using words such as crazy, because it's always the looking at what do you mean by using the word crazy? And an example I always like to say is, I had a crazy day today. Well, what does that mean to you? Did you have a busy day? Was it a little chaotic? Was it stressful? Using simple word substitutions to really define what you mean by what you're trying to portray.
What are your thoughts on that, Karen, the use of language?
I think that using words like crazy or insane to describe something, if you're speaking around someone who has a mental illness, they're making a little mental note. It's like, oh, do they think that I'm whatever they're trying to describe, whatever negative word they're trying to use? Because it's usually used as a negative word. It's if I talk to them about a mental health symptom that I have, are they going to turn around and say like, oh, she's crazy, Karen is stressful or too busy to be around or too chaotic? It's even if your friend maybe understands that they're not talking about you, there's still that slight connection that they might see you that way, that the people in your life might see you that way.
What behaviors or signs should we look for in a friend or in loved ones who might have mental illness? Karen?
A big one, especially for me and a lot of people I know, is withdrawing from something. If someone who comes to game night every week stops coming for a few weeks in a row, I mean, they could be busy, but they might be having a depressive episode or they might be stressed or anxious. And it's always good to check in. Someone who's quieter than they used to be. Someone who's just behavior changes in general. Mm-hmm. I guess if your friends aren't acting the way they normally do, something might be up. It's good to check in.
Chantal, I see you nodding. What signs do you look for?
I would say, like Karen mentioned, is extreme mood swings. I mean, so it could be the full spectrum of depressive states, but also looking at someone who may be manic or extreme anger. But also, like as Karen mentioned again, excessive worry or anxiety would be also just general signs and symptoms to keep an eye out for.
Chantal, what resources are available to someone who might be living with mental illness or someone whose loved one might be living with mental illness?
With our project, we like to refer people to 211, and they could place a call and to learn more about mental health resources in the community. It's free, it's anonymous, and to choose from over 2,000 resources that could serve as something in the community that they can turn to. But also, we like to share our website, www.stopstigmasacramento.org, as also a way to learn more about the project.
Karen, finally, let's wrap up by putting in a final word about the Journey of Hope exhibit for which you're the coordinator. What can folks who visit this exhibit expect?
They can expect some amazing artwork. We have some very talented artists this year over at the Elk Grove Fine Arts Center. We have a bunch of really good stories, too, in a variety of mediums. We have some narrative stories. We have some poems, all kinds of things. Some really talented writers and some really talented artists coming together to work to end the stigma surrounding mental illness.
What do you want people who visit the exhibit to walk away with?
I want them to walk away with an understanding of the complexity and beauty of all of the participants' lives, both in and around mental illness, that the mental illness isn't them, it's just a part of the many, many things that make them them.
And Chantal, what do you want visitors to the exhibit to take away?
That those living with mental illness are everyday people in our community. And I believe we have 42 pairs of participants, so a total of 84 individuals who came together to exhibit their real-life stories of mental illness and the art that has portrayed them.
That's Chantal Allen-Jarrell, health educator for Sacramento County, and Karen Hinson, the coordinator of the Journey of Hope exhibit, talking about erasing the stigma surrounding mental illness and what can be done to help people who live with it. Chantal and Karen, thank you for being on Insight.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The public reception for the exhibit, Journey of Hope, Real-Life Stories of Living with Mental Health Challenges, Portrayed Through Art, will be held tomorrow, October 6th, from 3 to 7 p.m. The exhibit will be on display at the Elk Grove Fine Arts Center, free and open to the public through October 20th. And you'll find information about the event on our website, capradio.org/insight. I'm Pamela Wu. This is Insight with Beth Ruyak on listener-supported Capital Public Radio.
If you're tuning in to Insight on Cap Radio, you just heard a pretty powerful segment about the stigma that people living with mental illness face and their journeys to recovery. I'm Sammy Kayola. I'm our healthcare reporter, and mental health is a really big part of what I do. I just put out a six-month project on how to prevent rural suicide in faraway areas of California, and I talked to dozens of people who struggle with mental illness, and you know, it was really an eye-opening project for me and hopefully for our listeners as well.
Oh, yeah. It was an amazing project. And I know a lot of work went into it and a lot of teamwork went into it. And listeners are part of that, too, because we are a listener-supported organization. And so we can't do the work we do, great journalism, without listener support. Please call and support it. Support what you hear from Sammy Kayola, our healthcare reporter at Cap Radio, and the work that you hear on Insight with a contribution at 1-800-800-5867. This morning only, start your donation to Cap Radio or make an additional gift, and it'll be doubled. Call or donate online now and have your contribution work twice as hard for Cap Radio and really for you, because you're getting the benefits when you listen. 1-800-800-5867.
And maybe you want to donate, but you think you're a little too busy, but you can find a couple of minutes. It's really quick. And we heard this morning, actually, from Allegra in Rocklin. They said, "I'm at my 40th high school reunion in Florida, but I still logged on to do this."
Wow.
Yeah. So donating to Cap Radio must be pretty important to Allegra, who made the time to donate because Cap Radio is a meaningful meaningful aspect of their lives. So you can call in and do that. It's very quick at 1-800-800-5867 or online at capradio.org. Don't let the day get away from you. Pick up the phone.
Yeah, we have a goal this hour of 61 contributions, and we're nearly there. We only have about five to go, so you can help us get there and get the good feeling of knowing you did your part to support Insight with Beth Ruyak and all the great programs that you rely on. CapRadio.org, safely and securely at our website, or give us a call at 1-800-800-5867.
Yeah, and if you go online to donate, you'll see lots of news updates and Insight, extended segments, photos. You know, that's the great thing about Cap Radio. Is you can access it anywhere, on your computer, on your phone, on your smart speaker. It's important to us to be accessible to you because we know that you rely on our programming to get you through your morning commute or dropping your kids off or just relaxing in the evenings maybe. So if the Cap Radio is something that's really part of your routine that restores balance in your life or keeps you informed or helps you learn something new, those are all great reasons to donate to Cap Radio. You can do that by calling 1-800-800-5867. Again, 1-800-800-5867, or do it online. It just takes a couple of minutes at capradio.org.
Northern California has its fair share of cities and towns with unusual names, from Bootjack to Rough and Ready. Cap Radio Interactive producer Emily Zentner decided to give in to her curiosity and take a look at the history behind some of these names. That's coming up next on Insight. Your contribution helps pay for this great journalism. Please do it now, 1-800-800-5867. Our website is full of, you know, not only stories that you hear, but also additional information, photos, videos that we can't obviously, you know, do on the radio. So go to capradio.org, not only to stream what you hear, but also to check out more in-depth coverage of the stories that you hear on Cap Radio. 1-800-800-5867 is the number to support it. And go to capradio.org to check out that stuff or to support Cap Radio with a donation.
Steve, you were talking about Emily's piece, Places That Are Near to Us. What about places that are far? Call now and enter in our drawing for the Galapagos Islands, 1-800-800-5867.